Hey everybody, this is Hunter Williams. I hope you are doing amazing wherever you are in the world. Today's video is going to be a comprehensive guide to desiccated thyroid use. So most of you guys know me and hopefully love me for talking about peptides, but I also talk a lot about hormones and fat loss. And today, even though I know the more popular videos are going to be ones around peptides, I'm going to be talking about something that's very, very important, especially as it relates to hormone optimization and fat loss, and that's going to be desiccated thyroid. So desiccated thyroid has been an absolute game changer in my life on my own hormone optimization journey. So I'm going to sprinkle into my own personal experience of how it's helped me, but I really want this to serve as an ultimate guide of how to use desiccated thyroid and then also why it matters. So why it's so important to optimize the thyroid, because no amount of any peptide, ipamorelin, terzapatide, 5-amino, MOTC, SS31, no amount of those is going to help support the thyroid in the way we need it. Yes, there are thyroid bioregular peptides that can help. And yes, there's tons of other stuff that will out there that will help you. But I have seen some of the most benefit in my own energy and my own metabolism and my own ability to burn fat and build muscle through using desiccated thyroid and optimizing my thyroid gland and thyroid function. So today I'm going to talk all about that. And I think it's important for everyone to optimize thyroid function, but particularly important if you are using hormone optimization. So one thing I'm not going to go into in length about this video, just because it would be a topic for another video, is the importance of thyroid while using hormone optimization, like testosterone, like progesterone or estrogen if you're a woman, and then also using things like human growth hormone or even peptides. So I want to save that for a different video, but today's just going to be like an all-out video on what desiccated thyroid is, why it matters, and why you should look at it. And particularly the problem is with desiccated thyroid, or looking at thyroid function in general, is most people get prescribed synthetic thyroid, which I'm going to go into at length in this video. So this is going to be like a 101 on thyroid, why thyroid is important and why we need to supplement with it. So before I jump into the thing, obviously this video is not about peptides, but if you want to sign up for the email list and download the peptide cheat sheet, you can check that out below. And obviously you guys know the deal now. All my links are down there below, so you can check those out. And if you want to sign up for the email list, I like to think it's one of the more valuable email lists out there, because I send out really cool content around this stuff that relates to my videos, but then also stuff that I necessarily can't talk about on YouTube. So don't forget to sign up for that. And without further ado, what I'm going to do is pull up my screen, and today we're going to jump into everything that you should know regarding desiccated thyroid and optimizing thyroid function, especially if you are getting started on your hormone optimization journey. All right, so this is going to be desiccated thyroid, and this is my best attempt at a comprehensive guide for practical implementation. And don't forget, as always, this is not medical advice, nor should it be adhered to as such. But hopefully this is teaching material that you can use and go and do your own research or your own further digging around how to optimize hormonal function in your own body. So let's look at an explanation of each thyroid hormone first. So what I wanted to first do was just kind of walk us through what the thyroid hormone is, because we hear a lot about thyroid, but we don't really have a good understanding of what it is. And I was like that at one time too, and I'm not claiming I'm some master. I'm definitely not a doctor or anything, but what I wanted to do is kind of summarize this to just give you a framework for understanding why we should optimize thyroid function. So the first thyroid hormone we have is T4, which is thyroxine. So this is the primary hormone produced by the thyroid gland, acting as a precursor to T3, which leads us to T3. I'm not even going to begin to try to pronounce the chemical name for T3, but it's basically the active form of thyroid hormone, which is what influences metabolism and energy production, which is what we know and love the thyroid for. Then you have T2, which is less understood, but there is research to suggest that it has a role in metabolic rate regulation. So basically our base metabolism. Then we have T1. Again, it's less understood than T3 and T4, but it's not well defined, and it contains one iodine atom. And then we have T0, which is least understood. But there's ongoing research into the potential metabolic effects. Basically, like overall speaking, a lot of the thyroid is going to have to do with our metabolism, which we're going to jump into a lot later. But when we look at conversion and how conversion works, because this is where it gets like really important to understand. So T4 is converted to T3 in peripheral tissues, which is crucial for our metabolism. And T3 and T4 significantly impact our metabolic rate, our heart function, and our brain development. Which happens up until our mid-20s, by the way, and should always be actually happening because we should always be learning. We should always be developing and priming our brain to learn more things. Then we have regulation. So TSH, which is known as thyroid stimulating hormone, regulates the production and release of T3 and T4. And then the thyroid hormones work together to maintain energy balance and our core body temperature. And beyond metabolism, thyroid hormones affect cholesterol levels, brain function, and bone health. So a myriad of functions relate to the thyroid. Again, the thyroid is like one of the most complex glands in the body, and it's very, very important to optimize function, which is why I'm making this video. So let's look at desiccated thyroid and how it works in the body. So why do we need to know about desiccated thyroid? So basically, desiccated thyroid is derived from the dried thyroid glands of pigs or cows. Now, typically, it's going to be called porcine thyroid, which means it's from pigs. And it contains T0, T1, T2, T3, and T4. And the reason we use porcine or pig thyroid or pigs more often is because it is, in terms of the ratios and amounts, they most closely mimic human ones. And I guess also, too, from like a supply chain standpoint, that's the easiest to get. But basically, desiccated thyroid mimics the body's natural hormone production more closely than synthetic options. That's going to be a key point as we go through this. And we have dual hormone replacement. So majorly speaking, obviously it has every one of the thyroid hormones, but it provides both T3 and T4, which aid individuals with conversion issues, which is a huge problem. And then we have bioavailability. So desiccated is thought to offer a more physiologically natural form of hormone replacement. And when it comes to symptom relief, some patients report better symptom management compared to the synthetic hormones. I will lean on that all the time, just for my own practical use and coaching clients that I've worked with that have been on both. It's been used since the late 19th century, before the synthetic thyroids were developed. So this has been around for a long time as a supplement. And when we say 19th century, that means like, 1800s. So late 1800s since this has been around. So this has very well stood the test of time. Now, the reason is that a lot of people struggle to get this because it's prescription. The reason is because it's so tightly controlled in the supply chain process. I'll let you in on a little secret. Most supplements have sawdust or the equivalent of sawdust in them. If you think the best drug dealers in the world, including the FDA and their pharmaceutical cronies, don't cut their supply, think of what supplement companies do, and it's really a travesty, but that's a known fact that most supplements do not contain what they actually sell. So the reason we want to make sure that we get pharmaceutically produced desiccated thyroid is because just of the quality of the supply chain versus like a supplement company. But basically, it aims to mimic the thyroid gland's natural secretion pattern. So this is very similar to like HGH therapy and testosterone therapy, or, you know, bioidentical hormone therapy for women. We want to basically put the body in a state where we're mimicking the natural production, or at least like trying to replicate a natural production state that would have, you know, arguably been around decades or even, you know, a couple hundred years ago because the environment is so toxic now. So not only do we, you know, have hormonal decline as we age, so we can use hormones to help replace and optimize health and everything, but we're also up against the environmental onslaught, which is all, you know, something that I talk about all the time. And like I said, most people, especially that I work with, once I, you know, transition them from synthetic thyroid to desiccated thyroid, they prefer this much better because of the broad spectrum versus like the narrow spectrum, because usually we'll talk about this in a little bit, but T3 and T4 are prescribed like by themselves in high doses, which is not the smartest thing to do. You know, and obviously too, you have to just be, you know, cognizant of individual needs and everything. So what are the benefits of desiccated thyroid? So the first thing that you're going to see is that it supplies a full spectrum, like we talked about, of thyroid hormones, not just T4 or T3 like synthetic. And this potentially leads to better relief of hypothyroid symptoms, which means low thyroid or low functioning thyroid, like fatigue and weight gain. I'm not going to really go into hyperthyroid, which is high thyroid, because that's less common, although still prevalent. But this, you know, desiccated thyroid helps the presence of low thyroid. Like we talked about, it's got the natural composition, and it's going to help support metabolic balance, which in a lot of cases means fat loss. So it's more common in women, but definitely common in men too. As we age, thyroid function starts to decline, and what happens is that makes it much harder for people to lose weight. It makes it much harder for you to regulate your metabolism. So you'll have, you know, I've seen coaching clients of mine, like, you know, women in their 40s and 50s, and they're eating 1,000 calories a day of like salad and tofu or something asinine like that, and they can't lose weight. And the reason is they have no thyroid function. So the thyroid is not telling the body to burn any calories. And so there's struggle and it's an uphill battle. And this is why, you know, desiccated thyroid is so important. Also, there's going to be a notable increase in energy and mood. This is one thing I've noticed in myself since I started a few years ago with desiccated thyroid. Not only is it much easier to keep fat off and burn fat, and my metabolism just fires on all cylinders, but I notice my mood is better, my energy is better. And you know, it's one of those things, before I started testosterone, I would crash in the afternoons around 1 or 2 o'clock. And then I started testosterone. I started to feel better. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't anxious anymore. But I would still, not every day, but some days I would crash around like 1 or 2 in the afternoon when I was working. I was like, why? I'm sleeping great. Like, now I've got testosterone and stuff. And I got my thyroid checked. Thyroid function was low. You know, as it was before, I just didn't optimize my thyroid, you know, when I started testosterone. Got on thyroid and boom, like my energy throughout the day is not like jittery or any like, you know, stimulant type energy, but you're just high energy throughout the day. Obviously, we have weight management, so it's definitely a lot easier to manage weight. And it's a little bit more natural. So like the problem with like synthetic thyroid is a lot of people get on it and it can be like so strong that they burn up all their muscle. And one of the things we don't want to do is burn muscle, because muscle burns fat. So if you take too much thyroid, it can cause your metabolism to be too high, at which point you may be experiencing symptoms of hyperthyroidism, which is too high of a thyroid, which can burn through your muscle. So you definitely don't want to do that, because muscle is the most thermogenic thing. So we want to kind of find that sweet spot. It's absolutely going to help improve cognitive function. So it improves mental clarity and cognitive function. I noticed this in myself 100%. I feel like my IQ went up 10 to 15 points from testosterone, and then also probably another 10 points from thyroid. It definitely helps in alleviating depression and mood swings associated with hypothyroidism. So, you know, as it relates to like cognitive function and our overall mood and well-being, when we don't have mental well-being, that's what leads and opens the door for things like depression. So thyroid is a huge component of that, which ultimately, at the end of the day, is all about quality of life. And then when you pair all of these synergies together, you're going to have a better quality of life. So moving along, what I wanted to talk about in this next part is why thyroid lab tests aren't always indicative of a deficiency. So, you know, it's kind of funny, because a lot of people will get their thyroid test done and they'll be like, well, I was in the normal range. And that's a whole different topic, again, for a different video. But the normal range is not the healthy range in most cases. Also, too, as we're going to see in the slide, just because it's in the normal range doesn't mean that you can't be deficient. And it could be just a snapshot in one very specific moment in time in which you appear to be in the normal range, but you could still overall be suffering from a deficiency. So obviously there's individual variations. So normal ranges are not going to reflect optimal ranges, obviously, for all individuals. I'm not really going to get into like TSH, T3 and T4 and free T3 and all this stuff on here, because I don't think that's as important. Again, like if I'm working with someone, they come back and it's like their labs are in those normal ranges. So what? You know, is your thyroid still functioning good? Is it hard for you to lose weight? And in most cases, it is. So among other things, you know, like hormonal optimization and stuff. But that's why the reference range is just, it's very hard to like lean on that as it relates to thyroid. Yes, we have to look at reference ranges and lab numbers in order to like understand some baseline, but it's not always the whole picture. It's one pixel on the whole picture of your health, you know, that, you know, it's going to be like your mental health, your emotional health, spiritual health, and all those things. So tests often also overlook T3 levels, missing conversion issues. And standard tests primarily focus on TSH and T4, occasionally ignoring T3 and rarely, if ever, consider T2, T1, and T0. So this is another thing. A lot of times people don't get a full thyroid panel done. They may just get like TSH or T4, and then they don't even take into consideration some of those other hormones. There's also like, you know, a lot of immune disease. So you have conditions like Hashimoto's. This can introduce variability that standard tests may not capture. And then also too, thyroid hormone levels can fluctuate throughout the day in response to various factors. So again, a lab test, while very useful, is just a snapshot at one specific moment. It's not indicative of even that whole day. And there's also differences in testing methodologies can lead to variability in results. Also, patients may experience symptoms of hypothyroidism even with lab results within the reference range. So again, you can still be deficient even if you are in the normal reference range. Remember, the normal reference range is based on a standard standard deviation mean of the population, meaning that it's just where 95% of the population lays. Well, if I go out in the public, guess what? If I look at 95% of the population, I see a lot of unhealthy people. You know, find me 10 people in your life that you'd be like, man, that person is rocking and healthy to the core. You know, it's just not common these days. So obviously too, we need to emphasize the importance of considering symptoms alongside lab results for a full evaluation. So if you are low energy, especially in the afternoon, if you are having trouble losing weight, albeit while dieting and exercising as much as you can, as hard as you can, you probably have a thyroid deficiency. If you are using hormone optimization without the presence of desiccated thyroid, you probably have a thyroid deficiency. So let's talk about dosing. Everyone's favorite thing. Okay, great pontification and theoretical talk, Hunter, but what about the dosing? So let's talk about the dosing. So what I always tell people to start with is 60 milligrams or one grain. Thyroid comes in, quote unquote, grains, is a common starting point. Now, most quack doctors will put people on half a grain, 30 milligrams, which in my opinion really does nothing for people. So 60 milligrams is kind of the starting dose. And what I like to do is titrate up from there. So like I started at 60 milligrams and my levels still weren't great. And I still wasn't like feeling like quite optimal. I felt better than without it. And I went up to 90 and boom, 90 for me was like the sweet spot. Now I have gone up to like 120 and 180 just to experiment. And honestly, for me, after 90, it's kind of diminishing returns. And I noticed like if I go to like 180, which is double the dose, and some people may need 180. Again, this is very like individual specific. I notice it tends to like burn muscle. I just get a little too catabolic and I notice that I like start to burn muscle more. You know, so kind of depends on what your needs are and what you're doing. But definitely you want to take it first thing in the morning before eating and to enhance absorption. Now, a lot of people say you can't eat anything or you can't drink even coffee around this. I don't really stick to that rule. I don't drink coffee first thing when I wake up in the morning, but it's probably like within an hour or so of waking up. But, you know, I'm not like a fast adherent to like you can't take any other supplement or any other thing because it will kill the absorption of your thyroid. I don't think that's true. I take it first thing in the morning. I don't eat usually even on my eating days within, you know, like an hour and a half to 2 hours from waking up in the morning and just because I feel better when I do that. But you definitely like want to make sure that it's not in the presence of food because that'll kind of like kill the absorption of it. So again, you just got to monitor, you know, from there. So like as you start at 60 milligrams and titrate up, depending on where you're at, depending on where your levels are, you know, I've seen people have to go to like 180 or 240 milligrams, you know, per day. And again, that can be determined on an individual basis. You can also split up the dosing. So one thing that if you are going to take, you know, if you need a higher dose in order to like kind of balance out the effect of it, some people take it like first in the morning and then early afternoon. I just take mine first thing in the morning. That tends to be enough. But splitting the dose up in the day to like morning and early afternoon better mimics the natural hormone rhythms of the body. You know, it's going to take an adjustment period. Usually like you won't notice effects from desiccated thyroid for a couple weeks after first starting it, which is totally fine. But then like 2 months later, you're like, wow, this is an absolute game changer. You know, and as always, just kind of like monitor your symptoms and safety and everything with it, with your doctor. So I wanted to throw this in here. So this is the difference between desiccated thyroid and synthetic thyroid. So, the prevailing, I'd probably say like 90% of doctors are going to prescribe synthetic thyroid to people if they come up or complain or bring up a deficiency. So let's look at the difference between these. So desiccated thyroid contains T0, T1, T2, T3, and T4, and synthetics usually contain only T4 or only T3. So desiccated is derived from animal glands and synthetics are chemically created, which I think, you know, obviously, a lot of stuff I take is chemically created, but I think if you can do natural stuff, it's usually going to serve you better in the long run, especially if it's not from petroleum distillate medicine, which hopefully even saying that doesn't get this video banned or whatever, but look it up, petroleum distillate medicine. Physiological mimicry. So desiccated thyroid is believed to more closely mimic natural thyroid function because of the ratios of all those thyroid hormones it contains. Desiccated thyroid may also benefit those with T4 to T3 conversion issues, which again, is going to be like one of the larger problems you see as it relates to, poor thyroid function. So again, you know, it gets into all this stuff. When it comes down to it, like, usually it's going to be something that's like cash pay. So like, you can oftentimes get like, you know, synthetic thyroid with cash pay or insurance versus desiccated thyroid, may have to do cash, but hey, it's worth it to me. It's worth it. You know, like between my testosterone and the thyroid, it comes out to somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500 a year. It is well worth it for the benefit that I get in my life and for my health long term. So how can synthetic thyroid be dangerous? So there's the risk, like I talked about earlier, of inducing hyper, which is high thyroidism, which can lead to symptoms like anxiety and heart palpitations, which is absolutely a real thing. I've seen that in people I've worked with. We also have conversion issues. So the failure to address T4 to T3 conversion issues can leave symptoms untreated. It's obviously the thyroid's very complex, just like anytime you're optimizing hormones. So it's kind of like, you know, one size fits all approach. Some patients may react negatively to fillers and binders in the synthetic formulas. And then there's the long-term risk. So if you dose synthetic thyroid too high for too long, it can create a massive negative feedback loop on the thyroid gland. And then when you try to come off of it, so like when you try to come off of it, it's bad news. I'll tell you that. Like if I stop desiccated thyroid right now, my thyroid function would still be okay. Now it wouldn't be optimal and it wouldn't be the best thing. Just like I'm going to exercise, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do my cardio, I'm going to resistance train. I don't have to do those things, but I'm going to because it's healthy. It's the same reason I take desiccated thyroid. But if I stop doing those things, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to like have problems. But if you stop synthetic thyroid after long-term use, I have seen cases like that and it's really, really bad. It's really, really hard to kickstart the metabolism again. Then we have lack of T3. So for those needing direct T3, T4 only treatments may be insufficient, which you would think would make sense, right? But I've seen people that have, you know, been prescribed one and not the other, and then they end up being, you know, having problems. In certain cases, synthetic hormones may affect the immune response, which again, we want to improve the thyroid gland to improve the immune system. And sometimes synthetic can lead to that not being the case. And then, you know, it just comes down to like the quality of life. And if you are experiencing like symptoms from taking your thyroid medicine, which is, you know, like the synthetic ones would be Cytomel or Synthroid, you need to stop. Now, most people, when they first start those, they actually like them because they lose weight. It makes it easier to lose weight. And if they have a deficiency, it kind of like helps kickstart them into it. But I'm telling you just from like in my own experience, which I haven't used synthetic thyroid, but just like working with people, it usually ends up being a nightmare. So I believe that is it for the slide. And that should be everything you need to know to get started with desiccated thyroid. So hopefully that was helpful to you. And, you know, one of the questions I get all the time is, what is the best peptide for X? What is the best peptide for autoimmunity? What is the best peptide for insert whatever condition? And a lot of times it's not a peptide thing. It's a hormonal balance thing. And along with our reproductive hormones, optimizing thyroid hormone production and function is absolutely been a game changer in my life. I know it has been in my girlfriend's life as well, since she's had it, you know, like her ability to lose fat, build muscle, feel well, mood, and all those things has massively improved. I'd say this is more of like a problem in men or women than it is in men, even though it's a rampant problem in our society today. So I would say without a shadow of a doubt, make sure that you are looking at your thyroid, and this will always go back to get your blood work done. Make sure that you are monitoring all that stuff, and the blood work isn't everything, but it is very important to look at, you know, to like understand where you're at, and obviously to like evaluate symptoms. But that's everything you know, need to know about desiccated thyroid. In terms of sourcing, this is obviously a prescription, so you need to go through your doctor. If your doctor won't give it to you, fire your doctor and get a new one. A lot of people, they act like they have this like death sentence, you know, pair with their doctor or something like that. And it's like, I understand the insurance game and what it is, but I choose not to partake in that. And I just go cash pay, and that's how I roll. But anyway, that is my comprehensive overview of desiccated thyroid. Hopefully it was helpful. If you have questions, comments, anything like that, drop them below. YouTube seems to have become a lot friendlier to me lately. They stopped taking away the subscribe button off my channel. They stopped turning off the comments and stuff. So far, so good. So let me know your questions, thoughts, comments, concerns below, and I'll talk to you guys in the next one. Peace.